Radio friends, if you listened to our program last week, you'll remember that we began a Christmas series under the theme, Knowing Whom We Believe. We're borrowing the words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1 verse 12, where he says, For I know whom I have believed. And knowing who he believed, the Apostle Paul stood in assurance and in confidence, even in the most difficult of times. Following that idea of knowing him, we're looking at the names of Jesus because those names reveal to us who he is and what he has done for us. Last week we looked at that precious name of Jesus, which means he is the salvation of Jehovah. It's a salvation that he did for us, it's a salvation that he does in us, and it's a salvation that he works through us. And if you're interested in that message, be sure you listen to the announcer. And he'll tell you exactly how to get a hold of these messages. They could be very valuable for you, perhaps in handing to a loved one who doesn't know the gospel, or a neighbor who doesn't understand the gospel, or someone who is a babe in Christ and needs help and instruction in understanding who Jesus is. Today we want to continue in the names of Jesus, knowing whom we believe, and the name that we're going to look at today is Christ. The name Christ means anointed and tells us that Jesus, the Christ, was the one that God selected to do a work, that he gave to Jesus the office of being the Redeemer, to reveal the Father to us, to sacrifice himself for our sins, and to preserve us in salvation. The question that confronts us then is this: do you know him as Christ? Do you confess that Jesus is the Christ? This was the crucial question during the Lord's ministry. Who was Jesus? Was he the Christ? May he claim to be the Christ? Recall that at the time of his trial, when at last he was condemned by the Sanhedrin, this question was put to him by the high priest. I adjure thee, that is, I put you under an oath, tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. This was the important question that the disciples were called to answer. When Jesus says to them in Matthew chapter 16, Whom do you say that I am? Others, they reported to Jesus, had said that he's a prophet, or perhaps the resurrected Elijah. Jesus says, Who do you say that I am? And Peter, by the grace of God, responded, Thou art the Christ. Do you call Jesus the Christ? Do you know him as Christ? You ask me, well, what do you mean exactly by that question? Well, it means, is it in your heart that you know that the weight of your salvation hangs only on his work? Do you know him as the one who reveals, as a prophet, the Father to you through the Scriptures? Do you know that as a priest he has sacrificed himself for your sins and now lives at God's right hand to intercede and bring all of your needs to the Father? And do you further confess that this Jesus the Christ is your King, so that he rules over you and he preserves you? And he preserves you by his power and grace and will bring you at last to your Father in heaven. It means even more. To say that Jesus is the Christ by a true faith means that you now confess that you are a Christian, for the name Christ, of all the names of Jesus, is very unique in that we share this name. We are called Christians because we share in that anointing of Christ, and we then are to speak his word. If you say that Jesus is the Christ, my Christ, it means that you, as a Christian, will speak his word, you will dedicate your life to him, and you will fight your sin. As I was saying, the name Christ means anointed one and refers to the fact that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit in order that he could perform the work given of the Father. In Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1 we read, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. The name Christ, I said, means anointed, and it's the same as the Old Testament word Messiah. There's the word Messiah, In the Old Testament, there's the name Christ. In the New Testament, it's the same word. It means anointed one. Now, anointing in the Old Testament was a ceremony. It was a ceremony when a sweet-smelling oil was poured out on the head of a man as a sign that God had made him his servant, a servant to be his prophet, to be his priest, or to be his king. For instance, of Aaron, when he was anointed to be the high priest over Israel, we read in Psalm 133 that it was the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. Aaron was anointed with this anointing oil, a great amount of anointing oil, as a sign that God had set him aside for this work of serving as a high priest. Maybe you remember how David was selected to be king in the stead of Saul, and of how Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse, David's father, and of how Samuel went through all the sons of Jesse until at last David stood before him and the Lord said, this is the one that I have chosen. And he was anointed at that point by Samuel. Samuel poured oil upon his head to be the sign that David was the one whom God appointed and would qualify to be the king. Jesus is the Christ. He is the one who has been anointed by God, given this task to perform the work of God. Now, that anointing really represented two things. It represented that idea of qualification. We read in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me," and then he goes on to say, "Therefore I have the ability to preach the gospel, to bind up the brokenhearted," and so on. So it was ability, and it was also right. When one was anointed, one was authorized by God to perform this work in the stead of God. Now, Jesus is the Christ, meaning that as God's anointed, God has qualified him, God selected him, and God qualifies him and authorizes him by the Holy Spirit to do the work that is necessary to save his people from their sins. You ask, well, when was Jesus anointed? And we answer, well, first of all, he was anointed eternally. If you read Psalm 2, we are told that this ceremony took place in God's eternal council, that God declared a decree from the beginning, "Thou art my Son." From eternity, God willed and authorized that his Son would come into our flesh to be the Christ in order to perform the work of salvation. But Christ was also given the Holy Spirit, and you remember that when he was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, the sign of this was that the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and rested upon him. Jesus, then, is the Christ. He's the one sent, authorized, and qualified by God to perform God's work, the work of salvation. He did that work in three aspects, as our prophet, our priest, and our king. Those who are familiar with the Bible will recognize that those were the three offices in the Old Testament to which men were appointed. And those three offices referred to or represented the threefold work that Christ was given to do. Christ was sent to be our prophet, to be our priest, and to be our king. Now let's remember, as we look at these three, that Jesus was not given this bare title. It was not like perhaps in your corporation, just before you're going to get fired, that you're given a new position and you got a desk and your name on the door, but in reality you're being pigeonholed, there's no work, you're being moved out. No, Jesus has this title, Christ, not in vain. He bears this title because he alone can perform the work. He's our prophet, our chief prophet. And that means that he was sent of God to reveal to us the heart of the Heavenly Father. In Jesus the Christ, we learn what God thinks of us. We learn of God's heart toward his people and toward his church. If you want to know the heart of God toward you as a child of God and toward the church of God, you must look at Christ. Behold the Christ. He reveals the heart of God to you. He reveals all the eternal love and mercy of God. He tells you that salvation is of God and of God's grace. He reveals, he illumines, he makes known to us the God of our salvation. He's the only one who can do that. In Matthew chapter 11, the Lord said that it is the Son who alone can reveal the Father to us. And as the prophet, he reveals through the Scriptures, he reveals the Father to us as the God of our salvation. But he's more. He's also a priest. You'll remember that priests were those who would bring an offering for sin. But Christ is the perfect priest. He brings an offering, one offering, for our sins upon the cross. An offering that hides our sins from the view of God, which satisfies the justice of God. And he's also our king. He fights the battle against our sins. He conquers our stubborn will by his Spirit and grace. He defends and he preserves us. He rules over us by his word. Now this is what it means that Jesus is the Christ. It means that he is sent or anointed of God to perform all the work that is necessary for salvation, and that he does this as a prophet to reveal the Father. He does this as a priest to make a sacrifice for our sins. And he does this as God's eternal King to rule over us and to preserve us in this glorious salvation. Do you believe in this Christ? Well then, as a Christian, you shall live. The Bible tells us that we partake of the anointing of Christ, and that's why we are called Christians. 1 John 2 verses 20 and 28, ye have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, and the anointing ye have received of him abideth upon you. This is something very sacred. It means that the Holy Spirit gives us to partake in the anointing of Christ and makes us to be prophets, priests, and kings after Christ. We are anointed as the prophets, priests, and kings in Christ. That means that we look to Christ as the only one who has performed all that is necessary for our salvation. But then as Christians in his kingdom, he gives us a work to do. Not a work to earn salvation, not a work to add to salvation, but a work to live in that salvation and to show forth the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That name Christian is also not a figurehead title. It must not be that way with us either. It's not simply an honorary title, but it tells us that God, by the Holy Spirit, has called us to be a prophet, a priest, and a king unto Christ. I say again, that work is not the same as Christ. He alone can illumine us, that is, open our hearts to understand. He alone can redeem us, save us. He alone can protect us by his grace. But that work is that we live now as the servants of God to the honor of God, as a prophet, as a priest, and as a king. As a prophet, we are called to confess the name of Jesus, to confess the name of God. And that means that the Word of God will be your treasure. A Christian who has been saved by Christ is now illumined by Christ, so that they come to the Scriptures and they say, "This is the Word of truth. This is the only truth." It begins, according to the Bible, with the preaching of the Word. Christ is functioning as the prophet through the preaching of the Word. He has called the church to preach the gospel, which 1 Corinthians chapter 1 tells us is the power of God unto salvation. And as we come under and we hear the preaching of the Holy Scriptures, The prophet Christ speaks to us, and we become equipped and we become strengthened to confess his name. And now that word burns in our souls. And we want to know more of the scriptures and search all of those things out. And we begin to speak the word of God. Perhaps your neighbor comes over to borrow a tool on Saturday, and you want to speak to him about the Christ of the scripture. Perhaps a store clerk is before you, and you notice you've gotten to know this store clerk, and suddenly they have a broken arm, and you've been talking to this store clerk, and you begin to talk to her or to him about the truth of Jesus Christ. Or we begin to speak with each other as Christians, and in the church, we begin to confess and speak that word of God, and we experience peace, and we experience the joy of praying together and bringing our needs before God together and edifying one another, and we live as the prophets of God confessing his name. But we are also priests. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 tells us that this means that we are to offer our body as a living sacrifice to God. We do not sacrifice ourselves for sin. We sacrifice ourselves, that is, we willingly give of ourselves in humble service for each other and for all men as we have opportunity. We don't think first of ourselves, but we are the priests who give of ourselves for others and intercede, pray one for each other. That applies to marriage. As a Christian, do you call yourself a Christian as a husband? Well, then you are anointed to be a priest. That is, you don't think of yourself, but you must think of your wife and her needs. Or as a wife, you must think of your husband and his needs. Or as parents, you must think of your children, not your own relaxation, not your own ease, but think of your children and their souls, and give yourself, give your whole life for those children. Are you a church member? Well, then you must not enter into the church saying, what can they do for me? What have they shown me lately? No, 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 no. You, as a Christian, are a priest. You are there to serve others, to seek their spiritual good. It means more. It means that as a priest, you're going to devote yourself to holiness. Your body will not be given over for fornication, your eye not for lust, your mind not to envy, but your body, your mind, your will, everything. You will want to serve him. You will begin to understand as a young person that your body is a temple. A temple of God. Christ is dwelling in your temple, in you, in your body. You must not place that body under the power of alcohol. That's not an innocent fad. That's not cool. That's not whatever. That's sin. That's a terrible sin. Your body belongs to Christ, that you might use that body as a sacred instrument. You must not addict your body to nicotine, smoking, or caffeine, coffee, or drugs, or addictions of the flesh. Sexual addictions, whatever that addiction may be. You must not put up idols in the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. Don't put an idol there. But you must serve him. Serve him in all of your thoughts. And you must live to him in prayer. But still more, as a Christian, we are kings, prophets, priests, and kings. And as a king, in Christ, it means that we will be fighting our sin. As we fight in the confidence and in the assurance that the victory is in him. And so we fight against our lusts. We fight against a besetting sin. We rely upon the Spirit and the Word of God. We begin to rule over that unruly member, our own tongue. We begin to subdue those sinful passions and that horrible pride. We no longer live for possessions or out of materialism, envy, or jealousy. When we live this way as a king, we find out that the Christian life is indeed a struggle. It's tough. It's a tough war. The tough war now is not in Iraq, and the tough war is not outside of your home, but it's right in here. It's in my own heart. That's hand-to-hand combat. That's day by day. But Christ has made us a Christian, and we are under His banner as the King of Kings, and He says to us that sin shall not have dominion over us. We are to use the weapons of His word and prayer, and we are to fight on against our sins, and we are to reign with Christ. This is what it means that He is the Christ, and this is what it means that we know Him as the Christ. He is my prophet, my priest, and my king. He simply is the one who has performed all that is necessary for my salvation. He paid the price, He opened my heart, and He rules over me and keeps me in my salvation. But more, as the Christ, He anoints me to be a Christian, so that I may live as a prophet, a priest, and a king under God. Is that your confession? Do you know the Christ? Then, again, by grace, let's hear Jesus' response. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. Let's praise Him as the Christ. Let's depend entirely upon Him as the prophet, priest, and king, and by His grace, let us live the Christian life, prophet, priest, and king. Let's pray. Father, we do thank Thee for the Word. We pray that we may not only know whom we have believed as the Christ, but that we might also live out of Him as Christians. We thank Thee that He bears His names not in vain, that He truly is Jesus, and He truly is the Christ. And Thou bless this word to our hearts. Watch over us on this day and in the days that are ahead in the week. Cause, O Lord, that our lives might be a fit testimony of Him. We pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.